educate. During this time of year, we're now in the month of August. We know during this time of year, families and in the faith and families in our communities, we preparing our children for the upcoming school year. Summer's over. The grocery bill's getting ready to go back down. Somebody say amen when you can. The kids are now getting that lunch program, and the parents and are saying praise God. It's time to focus on getting that secular education. If you are, if one is in grade school, we encourage them to get their diploma. If one is in college, in that higher education, thank you, Brother Green. If one is in college, we encourage them to get that degree. If one is even at work, get that certification. Excel in the realm of academics. Why? Because, as the saying goes, knowledge is power. And I believe that that is important. It is important for one to advance in the secular realm of life. It is important to get that education. It is important to get that degree, that diploma, get that certification. Get more tools in your tool belt, if you will. And so while one's secular success is crucial, how often do we focus on the invaluable nature of getting a spiritual education? Families are running themselves ragged trying to get ready for school, getting the supplies, getting the uniform, making sure they have their lunch pail and their lunch box to make sure that they are ready for the school year. But do we give that same energy to God? Do we give that same energy to say, you know what, while I am pushing my child to advance in the school system, am I pushing my child also to advance in the Lord? I think it's time for us to really prioritize. And I'm not against, again, getting the diploma, getting the education. Go get it. Excel. Get the letters behind your name. I'm all for it, and I believe that the Lord is for it. But what he's not for is advancing yourself in the flesh but never considering your soul. And so it's time for us to really prioritize the spirit and the soul over the body. If you're going to give that energy to the things of the world, we ought to give more attention to detail to being educated in the Word of God. And I know I'm talking to some of the choir. Again, a lot of us were here during VBS. And so it showed us, though, that if we can come 4 days out of the week to study the Bible, we can come at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning. So y'all already showed it. You can't argue. You can't debate. Y'all came back Sunday night. Y'all came back Monday. Came to. Now, all of us didn't, but a good majority of we had great numbers every single night. So we proved that we can do it. So if we can do it, again, school, and that's why we had VBS right before school started to show us, okay, while we're trying to get momentum for secular school, let's make sure we have momentum for Bible class. Okay, school's getting ready to start. I know kids are going to get out of school. It's going to get real hard. We're going to be tested. Kids are out of school. I'm off work. Am I still going to come to Bible class on Wednesdays? I'm already looking at who ain't going to be here. So we really have to prioritize. Because the reality is it's not just about our kids. It's also about the adults. Because the children are watching us. And they are watching our actions. They're observing what we do, how we push them. No, you're going to school. But do we say, no, you're going to church? And the sad part is with the school system is because we push our children out the door to school because we don't have to watch them. Someone else is accountable for our child. And so we treat the school system like glorified babysitters. And I believe the reason, one of the reasons why we struggle to bring them to worship is because we still have to be accountable for them. It's going to be a hard series, but this is what education is about. and this is what God expects for us. We have to do better. We're doing okay. We're doing well. But there's room to grow in the realm of growing in the Word of God, not just for the kids, but as adults. It starts with us. You can't tell or push an agenda on your child that you're not willing to adhere to yourself. Amen? I'm not smiling because it's serious matter. Okay? We got to take God's word seriously. For Joshua, in this text, and the congregation of Israel, attention and retention of God's word is vital to not just one's spiritual success, but the word of God actually helps us in the body. And so if you don't get anything else from this lesson or this series, understand that attention to the word of God, adhering to the word of God, is not just a benefit for your soul, it's also a benefit for your body. And the word is going to show us that here. Look in the text in verse number 7. The Bible says here, it told Joshua, only be strong and very courageous that you may observe, somebody say observe, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. God said, did not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may what? That you may prosper wherever you go. Is that in your Bibles? First thing that we want to consider when we consider the textbook is, one, the possession of the text. Somebody say possession. One more time, possession. Taking notes, write down that word, possession. In the realm of academics, one of the most essential tools that the student needs is what? It's the textbook. You really can't do much if you don't have a copy of the textbook. And I know we're in modern society, and depending on what grade level you're at, you may have a hard copy of the textbook. Now, if you get to college, you can download a soft copy of the textbook or the syllabus and have that content on your mobile device. Regardless of which form you have, the textbook is essential to being educated in life and in the Word of God. Say amen when you can. If you were like me, I don't know how to do, I ain't been in school in a long time. But back in grade school, if you came in class without the textbook, you had to leave and go get it. And so the teacher, they were informing us that you can't go far in this subject if you don't have the material that we're going to be using and learning from. Well, the same case applies in life as a child of God. You will not go far as a Christian if you do not have a copy of the Word of God. And getting to modern society, the Word of God is so readily available to us today. There was a time when you had to have a physical copy of the Word of God. But society, praise God, has made the Bible so available to us that you don't even need a hard copy of it anymore. You can literally type in a Google search, what is the verse or what is this text, and it'll pull up right in the palm of your hand. And so we have to consider that when we come to God or when we come to worship, you ought to have your textbook. Now I'm going to go old school. If you got your Bible, hold it up right now. Let me see it. Let me see it. Okay, we got a lot of hard copies. Very good. If you got it on your phone, that's okay. Hold it up. All right? When you come to class, which is worship, prepare to learn something. Okay? You're not going to succeed in this setting if you do not possess the textbook. Okay? And that's a good word also for when you get ready to go to secular school. Make sure you're prepared. Make sure that you're ready to learn, and the same process applies to being a child of God. Never step into class without having the tools. So often we are ready to get dressed. We're ready to look the part, but we don't have the right tool. Okay? And while our attire, while our appeal is important, what's most important is, do we have the tools that we need to be successful? Do we have what we need to learn? In this text, we want to first consider, number one, when you look at this particular passage, we know what's happening here if you follow this narrative very, very well. As it said in verse 1, the patriarch Moses, he is dead. Typically in Jewish times, if you follow back to the last book of the Pentateuch in Deuteronomy, Moses had died. He gave his final goodbyes. He gave his final words of encouragement for the congregation. And after he passed away, the people, they entered a period of grief and mourning for 30 days. That was a custom for the Jewish community. And so when God gets to Joshua chapter number 1, this is at the conclusion of this time of mourning. And he essentially tells Joshua, okay, Moses is dead, and I need you to get up. Because even though Moses has died, the promises that I gave to him are still in effect. And so I want you to understand, when you talk about possessing the word of God, I want you to understand that the promises that we are reaping and that we are benefiting, that we are beneficiaries of, these promises are not just about us, but these are promises that God gave in Scripture well before you and I were even in existence. And so I want you to understand, the first thing is the reason why you ought to possess the textbook is because this thing is bigger than either one of us. It's bigger than you. It's bigger than me. And you only fully appreciate these blessings when you consult the word of God. Y'all still with me? So he tells Joshua, okay, this time of mourning is over. It's time to get up. It is time to continue in the promises and the covenant that I gave to really not even to Moses, but to Father Abraham. We got to go back to VBS. We're real quiet in here. The meaning of Joshua, his name is important because his name was not always Joshua. Very similar to God changing the name of Abram or Sarai, his original name was Hoshea. And by the time God was done with him, he took up the name Joshua, which means Jehovah is deliverance or salvation. So the fact that Joshua was present with them meant that God was also present with them and that God still had a plan to save them. And this is important because, again, Joshua was not the only one that was grieving the death of Moses. The entire body, congregation of Israel, they were in a state of grief. And God was telling Joshua, Joshua, I need you to pick yourself up and move forward. Why? Because the people need to know that while Moses is dead, your God is still very much alive. So what you learn on the surface of this thing is the word of God is good because the word of God will help us in our times of need. It'll help us in our times of great stress. It'll help us in our times of trial and tribulation. Y'all still with me? And so when you look at, when you get down to verse 7, what you'll find is that the promises that God gave to Moses were the same promises that God literally gave to Joshua. And so God recites the same thing because he wants him to know that this thing is bigger than you, Joshua, but it is being fulfilled through you. And so I want you to know, child of God, that you being here, you being active in your faith, you being involved and being engaged, this is God working not just with you and I, but it's God working through us. There is a generation of youth that are coming up, and the only way that they'll rise up is if we stand up. They cannot be all that they can be if you and I are not doing all that we can do. So it starts with us. Verse 7, he said, only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Term there in verse 7, the term observe, it means to give careful attention to. In order to observe something, the original language describes a period of pondering, meaning that you stop to look at something or observe it or consider, what does this mean? And so with the textbook, it's not just something that you ought to have, but it's something that God calls you to utilize. The word of God is this not something that we possess. God is telling us through Joshua that the word of God is intended to be processed. So many of us have the word of God, but if you have it, if you possess it but never process it, then the tool of God's word is doing you no good. And so it's important for us, number one, not just to possess the word, but God is calling us through Joshua to process the word. Look what he said, observe to do not some of the law, but what? All of it. Which Moses, my servant, commanded you, did not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you are. Now, this is important because the old law or the law of Moses is what? Nothing more than the Ten Commandments, right? Exodus 20. I want you to understand that when God gave the Ten Commandments to Moses, it wasn't really about him. God gave it to Moses so that Moses could use the law to prepare Joshua to actually instill the law. Because by the time that God gave the law in Exodus 20 to Moses, Moses was older. He was more seasoned. And so God gave the law to Moses for him to not only possess it, but for him to process it. And for him to process it so that he could share it with Joshua. And Joshua, you're really the one that's going to enforce the law of God. Why is that important, Joshua? Because if you go back to Exodus chapter number 20, even though God had blessed them to cross the Red Sea, God blessed them to no longer deal with their enemies via the Egyptians. Before Moses even got off Mount Sinai, what did he see at the bottom of the mountain? The people were already breaking the law. So it wasn't really about Moses, but it was about God getting a blessing through Moses to give to Joshua so that Joshua, after Moses dies, you can continue in the legacy and, more importantly, the covenant that God gave to Moses. Y'all stay with me? What I'm getting at is, children of God, this era of Virgin Street that we're in now, it's not just about, and you hear me say it all the time, this thing is bigger than us. This goes back into our ancestors, those who worship in some of these very same pews, those who offered, who tithed and offered in these very same pews, in this very same sanctuary. Some of our senior members remember those times when people, they sacrificed and they gave and they worshiped in spite of their worries. They did all these things. Why? Because they understood that the blessing of God's word, the blessing of God's people, the blessing of God's presence wasn't just about them, but they were preparing for future generations. And what you and I are doing today is very much of the same. When you look at this law, this separated very finely the ministry of Joshua from that of Moses. One of the things when God told Joshua to traverse over the Jordan River, the first thing that it mentions before they get ready to cross is they had what was called the Ark of the Covenant. Okay, if you remember in VBS, we had the games in the adult class. We talked about the Ark of the Covenant. And one of the most important things that the Ark of the Covenant possessed was the scrolls, which were the Ten Commandments. And so we know that Joshua possessed the law. But in order for Joshua and Israel to be effective, they had to process the law. It was not, again, something just to possess, but they had to process the law of Moses or the law of God. Y'all stay with me? So see, number one, that the law, or when you get in the school environment, we're called to possess the text. Look further now in verse number 8. Bible says here, in verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. When you step into the realm of education, we're not only called to consider the possession. Secondly, we're called to consider the prosperity. Somebody say the prosperity. One more time, prosperity. Taking notes, write down that word, prosperity. Believe it or not, school is not meant to be a chore. Being educated is not meant to be a boring or mundane experience. For the Jew in the old law, they took great pride in the time of devotion that they spent with God and they spent with His Word. You can see signs of their devotion. You remember with the person of Cornelius and how Peter was commissioned through the vision to go and preach to the Gentile Cornelius and his entire household. Well, what was the setting? When you look in that passage, what was the context of when this vision came? The vision came to Peter when Peter went up on the rooftop and he was in a moment of devotion to God. That was time of devotion at high noon. Every Jew, they went up on the roofs. And it's for, when you look at the construction of Jewish homes, every Jewish home had a flat rooftop. And the reason it was flat was because every Jew, they were known to go up on top of the house. And that's where they often had their time of devotion, their time of peace, their time of serenity. And those moments always came in devotion to divinity. And that's through God and His Word. And that's a sign, even in the New Testament, that when we devote time to God and His Word, God will now devote time to us. Again, yes, there are general blessings that God provides for the entire world, but God has fixed the Word. He's fixed the textbook in such a way that if you take time to dive into it and digest what the Word is saying and observing the Word of God, there is a benefit to learning God and His Word. There are blessings. And anybody testify that there are blessings that come when we spend time with God and His Word? And the blessing, it may not be money, it may not be fame, it may not be fortune, but it's the blessings that you need most of all. Sometimes the blessing of devoting time to God is peace in the time of storm. So many people are going through hardship. They are in trials and tribulations right now, but when you dedicate time to the Lord and His Word, God will make sure that even though there are storms going on around you, God will cover you. God will put His arm, His hedge of protection around you, and He'll give you peace. Sometimes that blessing may not be peace, but sometimes that blessing may be joy. And joy is uniquely different from happiness. Happiness is based on your external circumstance. But when you have joy, joy is something that is not easily affected by our external circumstances. Joy is something that even though I'm going through some things, even though I may not have what I want, but joy is being thankful that I've got everything that I need. Sometimes the blessing is joy and being content. Sometimes the blessing is community. When you spend time in the Word of God, like God told Joshua, God said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And there are times in life when people will forsake us, people will leave us, but when you dive into the Word of God, there is a presence. We're reminded as children under the new covenant that the day that we were converted to Christ, the day that we were baptized, there was a gift that God gave to us. And that gift, and we know it is the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is the helper. That is the comforter. And it's when you dive in God's Word, God reminds you that you might feel alone, but no, you're never alone. You might feel like you're by yourself. There may not be a person around you, but because you have God, God always surrounds you. So God has a way of giving blessings that The world can't provide, that money cannot buy, and you only benefit from these benefits when you spend time in the Word of God. We look in verse 8. God said, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written." And he said, "For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Notice that the Lord, the master teacher, Jehovah, he's very specific. He's telling Joshua, "Joshua, I'm with you. I have these promises for you that were promised before you. But Joshua, if you are going to prosper, if you are going to be blessed, if you are going to be benefited, that is contingent on the time that you are spending in the textbook, in the book of life, in the Word of God." Notice the God, he said before verse 7 and 8, he says, "Everywhere your foot treads, it shall be your possession." Everywhere you go, this is territory that God has given to you. Now, you have to understand what God is really saying when he's talking to Joshua. When you look at traditional leaders in the Old Testament, the majority of the leaders, they were war generals. They had to fight. When you look at Moses, even though he was trained to fight, when he lived under Egyptian jurisdiction, when he lived in Pharaoh's house, Moses never had to fight. All Moses had to do was go to Pharaoh and say, "Let my people go." And when Pharaoh didn't listen, Moses just had to sit back, follow the instructions of God, and God did the fighting by bringing the 10 plagues. So Moses, even though he knew how to fight, we know he did because he killed a soldier. So even though Moses knew how to fight, Moses in his leadership wasn't called to fight. He was just called to be a guide and make intercession. Now, when you get to Joshua, he was a different type of leader. Joshua was called to be a war general. We know this is true because during the lifetime of Moses, when they fought the Amalekites, Moses didn't fight. He just held up the rod. But he told Joshua, "Joshua, as a general, go and choose some men. Y'all go down there and fight." So when you get to Joshua chapter number 1, when God told him that everywhere your foot treads is yours, you're going to have this possession, this is twofold. One, it go, you have to go back when Moses sent out the spies. He sent out 12 spies, and out of the 12, only 2 of them had a positive report. That was who? Joshua and Caleb. Now, in order to be a spy, you were a spy for the army of the Lord. That's number 1. So they went out and spied. So now, fast forward, Moses is dead, right? A new leader, God is brought up. He's trained by Moses. We already saw him fighting the Amalekites. They experienced success. So when God says in Joshua 1, "Everywhere your foot treads is yours," he's telling you, "Joshua, I'm getting ready to send you to battle. This is going to be, this is territory that is owned by the Canaanites, but because I promised it to Moses, I promised it to Father Abraham, Joshua, the promise is going to happen through your victorious battle." That's why we say Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. So when God tells him, "You're going to prosper," in this context, the Lord's people were going to prosper through war. Watch this now. He told that earlier in the text. Then when you get to verse 8, God says in so many ways that your ability to prosper is based on you processing the Word of God. Watch this now. When you look at what the Lord promised Joshua, the Lord, he's talking specifically about earthly possessions and territory, i.e. physical blessings. One of the reasons why I believe that we struggle so much with utilizing the word of God is because we in our subconscious, we believe that the word of God is only good for spiritual things. But watch this now. God is saying, you're going to prosper not just spiritually. Why? Because they already were prospered spiritually because they had God. So they already had a covenant relationship with God. So the spiritual prosperity, they already had that, and they've had that really ever since Adam and Eve. Right? But it was realized through the promised son, Isaac, when Isaac had had 12 sons, right? Or he had two sons, rather, and one of the sons became Israel, and Israel had 12 sons, which became the 12 tribes of what? Of Israel. Right? So they were already blessed spiritually. They already were people. God already developed them. So the spiritual prosperity, they already had that. But now God is saying, I've already blessed you spiritually, but now I'm going to bless you physically. But watch this now. According to what God is saying in the text, he's saying your ability to prosper in this world is based on your spiritual time in God's word. God is telling Joshua, and he's telling us today, the word of God is not just good for your soul and your spirit. The word of God has the power to also benefit your body. God is telling Joshua, and he's telling us today, when we spend time in God's word, God doesn't just have the power to benefit you and give you peace of mind, give you joy, give you comfort, give you solace, but the word of God, when we spend time in it, God will bless your job. He'll bless the relationships that you have in your home. God will bless you in the flesh. He'll bless you to prosper in such a way financially that you are now stable. In other words, what God is saying, the reason why we don't prosper is because we don't spend time with God. You've been blaming your lack of success on the man holding you down. God is saying, it's not the man, it's me. You're not spending time with God. And I can testify in my own life that when I fully submitted to God and his word, God just hit a switch on my life and things started to work out, whether it was my marriage, whether it was the church, whether it was my secular job. God has a way that as soon as we devote to him, God is saying, I've been waiting on you the whole time. God has a buffet of blessings lined up for you, but it's until you show up. God has them ready to give, but he won't give them to people who will not devote to him. And I'm not saying life ain't hard, because it is. But we begin to prosper better and more in life when we align ourselves better with God. You're a student, you've been struggling in school. It's not the teacher. It's not your classmate. The problem is you and your relationship with God. For the student, everyone's got your favorite subject. And you've got your least favorite subject. But God is miraculous in such a way that that algebra, that calculus, that geometry that's too hard for you to understand, when you start spending time with God, God will hit a switch in your mind and say, I understand it now. I'm serious. Y'all think I'm playing? If the Spirit can work with the Word of God, why can't he work with your subject? People say it all the time, man, I've read this scripture time and time again, but now I finally understand. It's the same with math. It's the same with English. It's the same with history. I hated history growing up. But now as a child of God, I appreciate it because we're blessed based on history. Our future can't be without the present and without history. And so you learn to appreciate things the more you spend time with the Lord. For the adult, you're worried about your job, you're worried about your family, you're worried about so many things of this world. God is saying there's one thing that can handle all of that, and that's his word. Y'all quiet, because I don't think y'all really believe it. I guarantee you, you devote time to the word of God the way God told Joshua, and that's the tricky part. The reason why he quiet is because look at the consistent nature that God told Joshua. Number one, he said, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. In order for Joshua to communicate the law, he had to know it. You can't speak what you've never read. You can't communicate what you've never studied. He said, it shall not depart, meaning that Joshua, he was so consistent in the word that he was able to quote it. He was able to recite it. If someone said, quote Joshua 1 verse 1, he's able to do it. If someone asked Joshua, Joshua, what's the fifth commandment of the law of Moses? He was able to tell him why, because he spent that much time in the word of God. Every day he said, this word of the law, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, and you shall meditate in it, not just in the daytime, but in the night. Meaning that every moment, that any opportunity that Joshua had to spend time with God in his word, he took full advantage of it. And the reason why we're not saying amen, some of us, is because the only time this Bible is open is when we come here. If you come here on Wednesday, the only time we think about God is when we're around God and his people. If you want the prosperity that God promised to Joshua, look at what he told Joshua. This word has to be not just in your possession, but it has to become a part of you. It has to be the governing factor of your life. The word has to be foundational to who you are as a person. Meaning that if you are faced with a choice, you have a tough decision to make, your first step should be, you know, let me see what God has to say about this. What does the word teach on this? And when you're that consistent with God, you'll be surprised at what God is going to do in your life. God desires that all prosper. But if you want the greatest form of prosperity, God is telling us it's going to take more than what we're doing. It's going to take more worship. It's going to take greater praise. It's going to take more study. It's going to take more dealing. He said, meditate in it day and night. And that term meditate, real language, it just means focus. All it means is focus. Give God and his word your undivided attention. Turn off the TV. Clear out time in your schedule. Stop worrying about the job. Don't worry about the kids. Find quiet time when it's just you and God. Do that on a consistent basis. And it's not that God will always change your circumstance, but sometimes God will change you. I know this is hard because, and this is actually really good for us because recently, over the last year or so, church has been asking more money, right? Now we're switching gears. We're not asking for more money. We're asking for more devotion to God. What's needed most right now is more time in the word of God. And I'm talking to me too. more time in the Word of God. There are so many people in this congregation that are struggling right now. And the Spirit put this series on my heart to get us back to our foundations, and that's God and His Word. God has a word for every single storm, every struggle, every situation, every trial, every tribulation, everything you're facing. God has a word in His word, but you won't know it if you don't open it. You'll be surprised. I mean, yeah, we praise God for Moses and Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But when you look at them, they were men just like you and me. They had struggles just like you and me. And so while these were great figures, they also were humans who struggled with life. And you'll find that if God can use these people, in spite of their limitations, why can't He use me? And why can't He use you? I can keep going. Lesson's yours. Come on your feet. Come on. Lesson's yours. Spiritual education starts with the textbook. You can't come to class without having it. I'm not going to send anybody home. But when we come here, let's possess the mind of a child. And what is that? Because the child wants to learn. The child absorbs everything that is communicated to them. They're eager. Their mind is a sponge. They're coming, anticipating to learn something. I watch my soon-to-be three-year-old absorb what we do. One and a half, she was already clapping. Now at home, most times she says the prayer, and we just let her do it. We don't know what she's saying, but God does. We don't know what she's saying. At the end of it, she says, amen. Okay, amen, whatever. Okay. If you hear, you watch her walk down, and, you know, Karen and I are in a circle, but she'll just walk down and stand next to any different people all the time and just, you know, grab a hand, says amen. Why? Because she's absorbing. She's absorbed. Doesn't understand everything, but she knows. Right, she wants to be here. Woke up this morning, was laughing with Karen. She woke up, Daddy, I want to go see Papa. She knows that Papa's here, but she knows there's a community here that loves her. She feels safe when she's here. And that's just the mind of a two-year-old. She knows that this is a place of familiarity. She knows this is where I'm going to be at consistently. This is where I want to be. We don't even have to get off the highway, and she knows where we're going. And that's the mind of a child. The closer we get to this place, you ought to just have a feeling of safety. I'm getting ready to get to the meeting place where God meets us collectively. And there ought to be a feeling of peace and serenity that comes over every single. I was talking to April during the meet and greet. She said, man, it's just good to be here. Amen. Right? And we say that stuff, but when you got stuff going on in your life, you're just like, you know, this is a place where I ain't got to worry about the 9-to-5 right now. I can just breathe. You know, I don't have to worry about the kids too much right now. I can just get recharged for the week. Right? I've got problems going on, but I'm with the provider right now who's going to take care of it. And so these are feelings that you get when you are consistent with God, consistent with His people. That's why the fast is so important. It's going to be hard. It's going to be challenging. But it's going to give us discipline with God and His word. Here's a member of the body of Christ. You've tasted the goodness of God. God is literally present in your being because you have the Holy Spirit. But maybe you haven't been the best student with God. You have Him. You possess God. But maybe you're not processing God. Maybe you're not utilizing God. If you need prayer on being a better student, being more devoted, not just when we're here, but when we're away from this place, on your Monday through Saturday, let's talk to God about it. I get it. It's that we got obligations, but God is saying, what's priority number one? Right. Is it you, your kids, your job, Or is it God? Let's stop playing. Let's stop playing with God. Because if we're praying to God, we want God to stop what he's doing and prioritize our needs. But where does he stack up in our priorities? Remember, the body of Christ needs prayer, needs a better process your time with God and his word, time for prayer. Not a member of the body of Christ, you've yet to fully come in the classroom. Preacher, how do I get in a space where I'm sitting under the feet of God? You become a member of this classroom, this church, through the act of baptism. It enrolls you in the spiritual education system of God. You baptize. That's an act of faith. Understanding that I'm like that child. I'm coming to God as I'm not trying to hide, not trying to conceal. I'm giving myself fully to God. I tried things my way. And if you're honest, I've been failing. I've been struggling. And I'm tired of trying my way. I want to fully commit myself to God.
Yeah.
I want to be enrolled in this enterprise, in this setting with God. Outward showing of inward faith. Coming with the expectation, God, whatever you desire for me, whatever you desire to educate and inform me with, God, I'll do my best to follow your instruction. Joe said it earlier, basic instructions before leaving earth. It's instruction. Are you willing to follow it? You have it. You may even know what it says. The question now is, are you willing to follow the instructions that God desires for you and for me? You desire, you can be baptized today. Give me your hand, give God your heart.